It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Only 12 days left on the legislative calendar, and the laundry list is long. Tax reform at the top, as well as a spending bill deadline next week. Immigration funding for the border wall and children's health care also on the list. The president tweeting this as members return to D.C. He says back in D.C., big week for tax cuts and many other great things of importance to the country. Senate Republicans will hopefully come through for all of us. The tax cut bill is getting better and better. The end result will be great for all. But at least six senators are on the fence for a variety of reasons, ranging from increasing the debt to repealing the individual mandate to unfairly favoring corporations over small businesses. GOP conference chairman Senator John Thune predicts they will get there.
We have members who are expressing what are legitimate concerns, who have ideas about how to make the bill stronger and better, and we're certainly open to those, and we're going to have an open process on the floor of the United States Senate where people can offer amendments. Those amendments can get debated and voted upon.
Now, funding for the government runs out on December 8th, so Congress must pass something to avoid a government shutdown as Democrats hold out for a fix on that DACA program, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, something Republican Senator Lindsey Graham says he's open to.
I think most Americans want to give these Dream Act kids a more certain life. So let's do it in December. Let's do it for the good of the country. Let's take care of a lot of problems at one time to show the country we actually can function.
So funding for the border wall, as well as a few other odds and ends like children's health care, a lot to do this week. Congress's first vote will be later this afternoon. We'll see what happens. Maybe a vote by the end of the week on tax reform.
All right, Griff Jenkins on Fox News this morning. Sandy Rios back with you. It's nice to be back, really actually back in the seat after Thanksgiving. And I'm sure that many of you feel like it was a refreshing break to be with families. I think Thanksgiving is becoming maybe one of the most favored holidays, maybe even above Christmas. And before I come back to this business about Congress, just a personal word, I had a wonderful break. My husband and I actually traveled and actually took some time off from work, which was wonderful. We went to Dallas for a wedding and got to see Dr. Jeffress at First Baptist Church in Dallas on Sunday before last. The most wonderful service, worshipful band. It was just great stuff. One of my favorite things was the congregation singing, "I Will Remember, We Will Remember," while people walked out on the stage with the placards saying things like, "My husband died and I was in deep depression." And then then she flipped over the card and it said, "But God came and rescued me and saved me, you know, from the depths of depression." Another guy coming out, I was a drunkard, I was lost, and then flips it over, "But Jesus saved me." And then the congregation, all of us are singing, "I will remember, I will remember." A kid's coming out saying, "We were so nervous to talk at school, to really say what we thought about things. We were filled with fear," and then flipping the card, "And God filled us with boldness, and we've been speaking." Just, and these are these people's actual testimonies as the congregation saying that "I will remember." And it was just a wonderful thing to remember what God has done in each of our lives, but also in the country. And I think that Thanksgiving, you know, I heard someone say just a few days ago that people that are thankful are happy. Happy. There's a much higher happy quotient among people that are grateful. For just grateful in general, even if they don't acknowledge God, it creates a gratitude. That's why God said, you know, that we should be grateful people. And then I want to tell you just a personal story, because my husband and I went on to Arizona to see some family, and we also went up to Sedona while we were there and had the most incredible encounter that I just want to share with you. We were looking for, you know, a breathtaking view in Sedona, because there are plenty of them, but we were looking for a particular overlook. And we happened into this area where we saw a car parked that was absolutely stunning. I love cars, by the way. I love, in the interest of full disclosure, I really like cars. especially the older cars that have a lot more personality. So this one was really long, like a Roadster. Had the ending, like the back end of a Lincoln, the parts of a Cadillac. It looked like an old gangster car. It was just fascinating. And as we were looking at the car, a gentleman came out, very tall gentleman, to get into the car. And I said to him, I love your car. And so we went over and started to talk to him. Turns out, let me describe him. He was like probably about 6'4", hands as big as like baseball mitts, a big diamond ring, a solid gold watch, with a treble clef on his ball cap. Just interesting, little signs, little clues. It turned out he was 96 years old. He was still driving, still working. He had been a drummer in the big band era. He played with all the greats, Ella Fitzgerald, Lena Horne. He played for Liberace. He told me that the car that he drove was a car that Liberace used to drive up on the stage at the beginning of his Las Vegas show and get out of the show. There were only 20 cars like that made ever or in existence in the United States, and he has one of them. And just fascinating. He was a tail gunner on an airplane during World War II. So he's a vet, just a remarkable man. And then I began to ask him about his if he had family, and turns out he has a small family, let's just say one son of sorts, like a stepson. And then he opened up to me and told me that he was, it was very depressing. He was having a lot of depression. And then, of course, I was bragging on the car, not expecting to get into a conversation about God, but I could not get into a conversation about God. And I just told him that without God, life is hopeless and depression is the natural response. You should be depressed. I would be depressed if I were at this point in life and life. I said, God gives life meaning and death meaning. And without God, neither of them have any kind of meaning. We got into a big discussion. He told me he was an atheist. And I just begged him really to reconsider God at this point in his life. He asked me what everyone asks. Isn't it good enough? Don't you think a good person, if there is a heaven and a God, if you're just a good person, that should be enough? And I said, no. No one is good enough for a holy God. And that's why he sent his son. And so we had quite a discussion. And I'm going into length about it because I would ask you to pray for him. Interesting, his name was Kay. That was his first name, Kay. And so if you would join with me, I know you got lots of things on your prayer list, those of you that pray. Just right now, just say a word that God would really move him. He's reaching the end of his life. He's in terrible depression. He's had this incredibly rich tapestry of life, great stories, but life is meaningless without God giving it purpose. And so just pray with me for Kay. He comes to my mind often. And what an interesting encounter, don't you think? All right, so back to Congress. Griff was just telling us a little bit about it, but I think that what you have to know is that, remember in, I guess it was May, they passed a short-term spending bill, meaning the leadership in the House, in cooperation with the leadership in the Senate, who are Republicans, and they gave the Democrats everything they wanted. They spent tons of money on terrible things, so much so that President Trump had second thoughts. It's when he was probably pretty new in office, not fully understanding how this game is played, but they didn't want any trouble. They didn't want to ruffle any feathers, so they gave the Democrats everything they wanted. And so the budget was increased again. And so now the end of that budget is coming up, that short-term budget, December the 8th. And here's what they're going to do, because this is what they always do. The Republican leadership now is being held, I can't think of a nice way to put this, let's just say in a stranglehold by the Democrats, because they're threatening. Guess what? Guess what the Democrats are threatening? Anybody? Anybody want to fill in the blank? A government shutdown right before Christmas, if the Republicans don't give them everything they want, including DACA. Now, you just heard Griff say, you hear people talking about it's just the children, but you've heard us talk to you about how much more it is. It's not just children. They are adults now. They're bringing in all their relatives. It has the potential cost of millions and millions of dollars in the future for the country. So it's not so complicated as, gee, a soft heart we should bring in or legalize or let's stay. all these young kids. It's not the way it is, and we're going to talk about it at greater length tomorrow, by the way. That's just one thing. The leadership offered to add to the Pentagon budget by $54 billion, but they would throw at the Democrats a $37 billion increase on all the stuff they like. But the Democrats are saying, no, it has to be equal. And so here it goes. And so the leadership is going to be meeting this week, and I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. It's not hard to figure. Because they can't have a government shutdown, not even over body parts being sold by Planned Parenthood of babies. Can't shut it down for that either. So trust me, they're not going to shut it down for any reason. And they're going to increase the budget irresponsibly, dangerously, yet once again. That's my prediction. And so we'll talk more about that as we get to it. Now, something else happened over the weekend that I think is really important. The president has done some wonderful things, and one of them is to appoint Ajit Pai to the head of the FCC. I want you to hear what's happening with Ajit Pai. Clip 5.
Ajit Pai, the Trump-appointed head of the Federal Communications Commission, unveiling plans to lead the rollback of so-called net neutrality. That's the landmark Obama-era regulation hailed for preventing internet service providers from blocking or slowing down access to certain websites. Reuters Washington correspondent David Shepardson spoke to the FCC chairman.
The new approach that Chairman Pai laid out in an interview with us is to return to the pre-2015 model that he argues worked well for 20 years, saying that as long as there's significant public disclosure of these practices, the FCC should not specifically ban blocking, throttling, or offering paid prioritization to certain internet content.
The ruling, expected to come at a December 14th meeting, is seen as a blow to popular websites like Facebook, Google, and Netflix, which could see access to their sites curtailed, and a victory for internet service providers like AT&T, Comcast, and Verizon, who will hold more power over the internet under Pai's watch. Opponents of the expected net neutrality rollback preparing to head to court for a fight.
Okay, that was Reuters' report, and of course that's not a very definite spin on the story, and this is a huge story, and I won't be able to explain all of this in the time that we have, but let me just say that under the Obama administration, the internet was taken captive by government, as most everything else was, and so Ajit Pai has issued this Restoring Internet Freedom Order. That will reverse it so that the internet is actually free and the government will not be able to restrict it like it has been doing under the Obama administration. Ajit Pai was on the FCC for a number of years, but he wasn't the chairman. You might remember, or maybe you don't remember, these are kinds of obscure issues that affect all of us, but we have so many issues. How can we track all of them? But let me just say that the FCC under Barack Obama wrested control of the internet. I talked about that quite a bit as it was happening. And they issued this huge treatise changing the rules that they would not release to the public. And they passed it by hook or by crook. They passed it. So Ajit Pai is reversing all of this. Now, we'll talk more about that when we have a moment. But let me just say that Ajit Pai now is being totally harassed by the left. His family. They're posting pictures of his kids, their names. They're harassing him in his home. And so this is what happens when people actually do what's right, which reminded me of an article I want to commend to you. Just broke my heart, really. It was on CNN.com. It came out during the Thanksgiving break. Kelly Paul writing about her husband, Rand. She says, the average person, Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul, who was attacked by his neighbor, who was, you know, obviously it's really kind of nothing to the left. They don't report on it. The average person takes 20,000 breaths a day. Since November 3rd, my husband, Rand Paul, has not taken a single one without pain. He's had not a single night's sleep uninterrupted by long periods of difficult breathing or excruciating coughing. And she talked about how she's had her phone ready to call 911. He refused to give in to the pain, went back to work. But this is what's happening to people who are standing up, people who are unpopular with the leftist agitators in our country. They are paying a tremendous price for being heroes, and we need to make sure we need to do something to stop this. All right, there's a lot of news, so stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
So What would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
Luke 6, 12 and 13 says, "Now it came to pass that in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued in prayer to God all night. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles." Listen, before we make decisions regarding our financial stewardship, what is it we do in order to come to a conclusion? I hope it's pray. If Christ prayed all night, I wonder how much longer we ought to be praying before decision.
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
Giving thanks on this Thanksgiving Day. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
Hey, my name is Aaron Abbs. I am an undecided major, and I'm a freshman here at TME. And as soon as I came here, I fell in love with the campus. Like, I knew, like, God was calling me to be here at TME. And, you know, I couldn't get a better education than this. Like, professors who pray before class, who care about your spiritual walk with Christ. You are who you are, and they care about you.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
The first rays of morning light are just beginning to wash over the eastern seaboard, and already kitchens from Kennebunkport to Key West are beehives of activity. There's pecan pies to bake and turkeys to roast, crackling fires and football games on this day of Thanksgiving. And I don't know about you, but I've got a lot to be thankful for. Barbecue and Nutter Butters, Abita Springs Root Beer, and the Tennessee Volunteers. My sweet, wonderful Southern Fried family, and my cracker barrel rocking chair. I'm thankful for you good folks who take a moment, 60 seconds, to pause and to listen to what's on my mind. But most of all, I'm thankful to God and His almighty hand for guiding our path, for seeing fit. We were born in a free nation where all men are created equal, but only two people get the turkey legs. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Fox News has confirmed that Robert Kellner, the lawyer for former White House National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, has contacted several attorneys engaged with the special counsel, including those representing President Trump, to tell them, as was first reported in the New York Times, that Flynn's legal team can no longer share information with those counsel, a step widely interpreted to mean that Flynn, while not yet facing any formal accusation of wrongdoing, is ready to cooperate with prosecutors.
He also has his son being investigated, and you know, this may be one of the situations where a father would want to save his son. I mean, when you look at Flynn's potential charges, that he failed to register as a foreign agent, that he didn't claim money that he received from Russian entities, I mean, he certainly has some issues.
Jay Sekulow, a member of the Trump legal team, said the prospect of Flynn entering a plea is not unexpected and added no one should draw the conclusion that this means anything about General Flynn cooperating against the president.
Mike Flynn is a fine person.
Indeed, the Trump team believes any charges against Flynn will likely derive from his lobbying on behalf behalf of Turkey, not from anything relating to Russia. A former prosecutor predicted defense counsel would try to impeach Flynn's credibility as a witness by showing he allegedly lied on federal forms and elsewhere.
To put him on the witness stand against those charges, they're going to need some real corroborating evidence to support his testimony going forward if he agrees to cooperate.
And the president's lawyers say confidently that the electronic evidentiary record now in the hands of special counsel Mueller would provide no support for any allegations Flynn might make against the president relating to Russia. But the Mueller team could not have overlooked the Yahoo News report that quoted Flynn telling supporters in May that President Trump had called him on April 25 and urged him to, quote, stay strong.
James Rosen of Fox News, and that's you know, I have to say, I think this is much ado about nothing. The report is what they're hoping is that Flynn is cooperating with Robert Mueller, to take down the Trump administration. I don't really think that that's the case. I think you heard James kind of allude to that. That's pretty shaky allegation. That's what they're claiming because they want to claim that. Talk about the destruction of someone's character. You know, Lieutenant General Flynn, it's just amazing. You can just make an allegation and destroy people. Or you can attack them in their lawn, you know, in their yard from behind. And the press doesn't think that's a very big deal. The fact that Rand Paul is suffering so much, the fact that Ajit Pai is, you know, having his children put in danger and his home surveilled and harassed people, his wife and children. It's just amazing. It's amazing the way these things are reported. So General Flynn is this terrible person after being a war hero and after, you know, opposing the Obama administration. That was the greatest harm that he did. How dare he publicly go against the Obama administration on whether the Taliban or Al-Qaeda had been defeated. That was his big crime. And also trying to go after the intelligence agencies. That was his other big crime because, you know, you can't do that because they actually, you know, can destroy anyone. And that's what they're trying to do. So we'll see what happens with this, but that's kind of the upshot of it. Now, there's another angle to this. I want you to hear this. This is a response of some Democrats about this news. Of course, they're thrilled. They're salivating, hoping that Michael Flynn will be destroyed and that he will ultimately bring down President Trump. And then after this montage of their comments, you're going to hear Christian Adams commenting on what he thinks is the real issue. So let's listen.
Michael Flynn's lawyers cut ties with President Trump's legal team. This is big news, folks.
When I talk to a lot of Democratic voters, there's this hope and desire that this is going to go into the Oval Office, that this can be traced back to the president.
I think that Mueller is going to want something from Flynn on Kushner, Don Jr., or Trump himself.
The Democrats you just played are in a rabid froth. They are obsessed with the president. They hate the president. They want to get him any way they can, and they view this as the way to do it, and they're unhinged. But what we know about Flynn is that he's facing pressure, just like other administration people are, from this special unrestrained counsel, Robert Mueller. And, you know, the latest leak out of Mueller's shop is that this might have something to do with a documentary film related to a Turkish dissident who lives on a lake in Sailorsburg, Pennsylvania. I mean, let's go there, because if that's what it's all about, it's going to be even more ridiculous than indictment about Manafort wiring money to an Alexandria rug store. It doesn't have anything to do with Trump or the White House or the campaign or Russia. It's like, let's find anything bad somebody did over 10 years.
Yeah, so that's the first part of Christian's response. And then he goes to the whole issue of Rod Rosenstein, his involvement in this, and where has he been in terms of prosecuting the leaks coming out of Mueller's investigation? Let's listen to Christian.
Listen, Lisa, there's troubling signs here. For the Wall Street Journal to get a leaked report, and as there have been lots of leaked reports out of the special prosecutor's office, this involves a Turkish dissident, which was just published, that's a real troubling sign. And to tell you the truth, Rod Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general, these leaks fall on his lap because it's illegal. It's illegal for Robert Mueller to leak. It's illegal for his staff to be leaking secret grand jury testimony. Those are crimes in and of themselves. And if Rod Rosenstein can't get Robert Mueller's leaking under control, Rod Rosenstein needs to go. He needs to be fired. So this is about an unhinged special prosecutor here that's out of control, and nobody in the Deputy Attorney General's office will do anything. You have to keep the lunatics on the left happy, and anything you can find, anything you can do indict, whether it's family members, maids, distant cousins, go ahead. That's the attitude of Robert Mueller's office, is put as much political weaponization on the president as possible to try to discredit the results of the election last year.
Yeah, he's right. That's J. Christian Adams, and he's absolutely right about this. This is actually what's happening. And, you know, it's interesting. The New York Times actually did an article that I read yesterday about Robert Mueller's, 2 days ago, about Robert Mueller's past investigations. And I'd read about lots of other things, but these things I did not really know. It was not a flattering article about his record as a prosecutor. He has a record of going after people and actually being unsuccessful because he throws allegations, tries to make things stick that don't actually stick. He does not have a stellar reputation, even though he was touted as having some stellar reputation. And remember that it was under Robert Mueller that the uranium, 20% of our uranium, was actually sold to the Russians, to a Russian entity called Uranium One. It was under his watch while the FBI was investigating. What they knew was untoward dealings with the Russians and the Clintons and our uranium supply. The FBI was investigating that. And while they were investigating it, we handed over 20% of our uranium to our greatest enemy, really, on the nuclear front. And that would be the Russians, the ones capable, really, of going toe-to-toe with us in a nuclear war. So Robert Mueller was involved in that. And so was, guess who? Rod Rosenstein. Rod Rosenstein, also Andrew McCabe, was the FBI investigator who was investigating all this. So it's really kind of a creepy assembly. And James Comey was involved in it, too, because he inherited it. It all happened in 2009. So these guys, while they've been, you know, zealous to find this connection between the Trump administration and the Russians, they've been sort of, let's say, had Alzheimer's in regard to the Russian collusion with the Clinton family, the Clinton Foundation, and other American entities that actually cooperated, including Eric Holder, Mrs. Clinton, and others on that board that gave Uranium One 20% of our uranium. And so it just has to be repeated however many times it has to be repeated. Something bad has gone wrong with that. So anyway, that's the update on that. Now, the other, you know, icky part of the discussion today has to be all of these sexual harassment, abuse, fill-in-the-blanks, allegations toward all of these public figures, mostly men. You notice, I do notice that a lot of the, okay, so I'll just leave it there. I'm not going to say what I was going to say. I'm going to check my tongue here. This is Al Franken, who appeared in Minnesota radio to defend himself from the allegations that have come his way. Let's listen.
First of all, I just want to say that this whole thing has been, embarrassing and it's been difficult. But part of that is that I want to respect a woman's experience. Very often there are these kinds of things and allegations, and that I believe that women should be respected and listened to. This is what I'm doing. I'm taking responsibility. I apologize to the women who have felt disrespected. I'm someone who, hugs people. And I've learned from these stories that in some of these encounters, I've crossed a line for some women.
Yeah, I guess so. So Al Franken has been accused of, I don't even want to, honestly, when it comes to the details, I'm not crazy about this. I would say, because I think we have to be fair-minded, he hasn't been accused of rape or anything like that. He's been accused of unwanted touching and kissing, unwanted, grabbing, etc. So it's interesting because Yahoo actually reports that during his comedy era, he did a lot of jokes about rape and disparaging women. That was kind of his pattern. And, of course, there is a picture of him groping, let's say, a reporter. That's one of the accusers that's come out against him. And it's actually in a photograph. So he can't escape that. I have to say, you know, it's interesting the timing. This was the Franken story came out really on the heels of this, you know, Mitch McConnell and others insisting that Roy Moore, based on the allegations of the women against him, should step aside. There's no way he's not fit. He should step aside. Paul Ryan, I believe the women, blah, 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 blah. And then we find out that there's a list of congressmen, senators and congressmen who have been, who have been behaved inappropriately, whatever the details, with staffers, and have gone through a process which actually they had representation, but the accuser had none, and millions of tax dollars were paid to hush and silence these women. So then we hear these stories about Al Franken. So we have Al Franken, a sitting senator, being accused, and there's actually a photo. And so coming on the heels of McConnell demanding that Moore step out of the race, he's not worthy to serve among this great body of senators. And I just, this is what I thought of the story of Haman, you know, in the Bible, where he was trying to get rid of Mordecai and the Jews, lying to the king. And he set his trap and had it all fixed, and he built this big gallows. But what happened is Haman, at the last minute, by a twist of fate, not fate, it was God himself, was revealed to be the liar that he was, and he was hung by his own gallows. I honestly do wonder if the gallows upon which they prepared for Justice Moore, trying to hang him in the wake of all this plethora of accusers coming out in Hollywood trying to paint him with that same brush, has not been the gallows that's going to come back to kind of hang members of Congress. And, of course, I don't mean that literally, but being hung by their own noose, being snared by the trap that they laid. I just think that's interesting and worth pondering. But that's Franken, and that's, of course, not the only story. We have John Conyers, who's been in what? He's been 27 terms. That's 2 times 27, by the way. He's been there a long time, serving in the House, and that's a whole other issue. And now we hear all kinds of, with Al Franken, I would grant you the accusations to him, even though they're gross to me as a woman, are not nearly so serious as the ones against John Conyers, who, let's just say, there are lots of accusations. In fact, in one case, his own office paid out a $27,000 settlement to a former staffer who claims sexual advances, with some icky details. And, of course, we don't know if that's all of it. Nancy Pelosi, of course, is rushing out to say that he needs due process. He shouldn't be, you know, he's such a great champion of the people. And the Ethics Committee is going to investigate what he's done. But, of course, Roy Moore's guilty. He's a pedophile, says Nancy Pelosi. But Conyers, he deserves due process, not Roy Moore so much. You see how this goes? See how this is played? So John Conyers' situation is that you may see that he's stepping aside, but he's not. He's stepping aside from his committee leadership position temporarily while the so-called quote-unquote ethics committee in the House, you know, investigates. Now, I have to say, this is the same ethics committee that has had, the head of the Intelligence Committee, the one that's been under investigation for allegedly leaking classified information, Devin Nunes, when he came out in front of the White House six months ago, and said that he had just come upon some information, some knowledge that the Obama administration may have wiretapped, Republicans may have done some really horrible things. Devin Nunes has been under investigation himself now. They turned it on him for allegedly leaking information, and he's been silenced for the last, 6 months? Because this ethics, you know, committee in the House, man, they're all over it. So you can trust for sure that they're going to make sure Conyers, you know, they're going to get to the bottom of it. This is the same body of gentlemen and few women that has this big slush fund of tax dollars that they pay off the accusers so that they won't ever say anything bad about their congressmen. So I wouldn't, you know, hold my breath on justice. By the way, Franken is coming back to the Senate. He's looking forward to being in his seat today or tomorrow. And he's going to have an ethics investigation with the Senate, too. So, and not to worry, because Congress is going to have they've decided to put their members of Congress through training on sexual harassment. So that's, don't worry, they're going to have training. And it's not going to happen, I'm sure, anymore, or at least maybe in the training they'll know more about the money that's being paid out and how to file, whatever paperwork they have to protect themselves. Maybe that might be more what the training and the House and the Senate is like. I don't know. But there's more on that front that I want to talk to you about. Some really dreadful stories. And then some good stuff about Justice Roy Moore. So stay tuned. Sandy Rios back with you in the morning on AFR Talk.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Top lawyers from Facebook and Twitter were summoned to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee to get to the bottom of Russian-linked posts and advertisements made to persuade Americans. Facebook General Counsel Colin Stretch told the committee the Russians generated content after the November 8th election to foment discord about the validity of President Trump's election. Instead of helping him, the Russians actually worked to sow doubt in American minds about the president's victory. Talking Snake Media and truth-telling are mutually exclusive.
Listen to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
The AFA Journal covers critical contemporary issues that American families care about. Here's Ed Vitagliano.
When the U.S. Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage, we knew this wasn't going away. Christians can no longer pretend this is a temporary blip in our history. The article instructs Christians and church leaders about how to deal with the homosexual agenda, but also homosexual people who, after all, are made in the image of God.
Read this story and more at afajournal.org.
Hello, everyone. Do you need help dealing with the everyday tasks of raising a family? I'm James Dobson here, and if you do, I hope you'll tune in to our next edition of Family Talk. Our main purpose in this ministry is to put tools into your hands that will strengthen your marriage and help you raise your kids. Hope to see you right here next time for another edition of Family Talk.
Weekday mornings at 6:30 and evenings at 9:30 on American Family Radio.
Here for your encouragement and your walk with God. This is David Wolin with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. On a scale of 1 to 10, how well do you do at being still and waiting on God? For me, personally, this is an area where I need to grow. And the days leading up to Christmas are a prime example of that. Think about this. Christmas is a celebration of the moment when, for all mankind, the wait was finally over. God came and answered the deepest desires of every longing heart. And so, it's ironic that for so many of us, the days leading up to Christmas are frantic, stressed out, exhausting. What would it take for you and me this Christmas season to do as Psalm 37 instructs, and be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him? Anchor Devotional can help you draw nearer to Jesus. Visit getanchor.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Yesterday, a former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff expressed concern about the politicization of the U.S. military. On ABC's This Week, Admiral Mike Mullen criticized John Kelly, a former four-star general turned Trump White House Chief of Staff, for being, quote, very supportive of the president no matter what. That was really a sad moment for me, unquote. The irony is that Admiral Mullen was himself accused of allowing his credentials as a uniformed officer to serve a highly political purpose. In Mullen's case, it appeared to be a matter of being very supportive of Secretary of State Clinton, no matter what, as he led with an equally partisan former diplomat Ambassador Thomas Pickering, a damage control operation in the wake of the preventable, deadly Benghazi terrorist attack. Evidently, Admiral Mullen materially helped Hillary's cover-up, something way worse than saddening. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Oh, it's supposed to be Cyber Monday. You knew that, right? Oh boy, who starts this stuff? It's a kind of, you know, like Black Friday. Who started that? I don't even know why. That just the title kind of I don't understand even where that came from. And when you see the behavior of people, I guess you can understand it has become a Black Friday as people grab and display their greed. Pretty amazing. So today is Cyber Monday. Now, that doesn't mean that shopping and saving money is, you know, something black or dastardly. I guess it's smart. But I would, in an attempt to help you, the American Family Association has released their 10th annual Naughty or Nice list of retailers, just so you know, like, who you might want to shop with and who you might not want to. And, of course, the gauge here is how they treat Christmas, whether they mention it, whether they it's just too, you know, just can't quite come around saying Merry Christmas, can't quite acknowledge, you know, green and red, and that it's a, you know, a holiday and a religious holiday, too. So let me just tell you the groups on the naughty list, because there are more than 50 nice retailers using the term Christmas. By the way, you can get these on AFA.net if you want to see the full list. And the nice list includes retailers like Ace Hardwood, Ace Hardware, and Zappos. And then there's a marginal list, but then there's a naughty list. So that's, I'm going to share with you the naughty list. This is where they will not mention Christmas. Maybe a product, some product maybe have some mention of Christmas, but the stores themselves, nothing about Christmas. And that would be Barnes & Noble, Best Buy, Dollar General, Family Dollar, Foot Locker, Gap, The Limited, Nordstrom's, Office Depot, Office Max, Staples. What is with these office supply stores? Anybody know? I don't know. Why wouldn't they? Why have they such an aversion to Christmas? I don't know. PetSmart, a Stein Mart. That hurts. Super Value, UncommonGoods.com, and Victoria's Secret. So that's the naughty list. And if you want to get the actual whole list, it's AFA.net. But that'll give you an idea of kind of some guidance about shopping today. By the way, our Christmas bands are still available. Keep Christ in Christmas, they say. Keep Christ in Christmas. And you can get your wristbands by calling 877-927-4917. 877-927-4917. Or go to the AFAstore.net, AFAstore.net. So there you go. Happy Cyber Monday. Now, to come back to this, other dreadful topic, I have to say that this was pretty painful to me because there's a young Ohio lawmaker that I know. I knew him in Washington, Wes Goodman. Those of you listening in Ohio probably know about Wes. Wes was a Christian. He was a staffer on Capitol Hill, just a great guy, we thought, certainly upholding moral values, working hard, doing a lot of really good things. He got married and had a baby before he left D.C. to go back and run for office in Ohio. And I remember saying goodbye to him. And now the report is that he is, let's just say he's gay. And he has been caught doing horrible things with varying details. Soliciting on Craigslist, having sex in his office in Ohio. These are with men. I'm just saying, this is shocking to those of us that knew Wes, and it's a blow to those of us certainly in the Christian conservative movement, that this is a serious problem with Wes because all the reasons. So it's pretty grieving. These are the kinds of stories that are coming out. This one doesn't grieve me because Congressman Joe Barton has been a disappointment to me because I think he's another guy that served in the House 4 years. He's been there for, what, since 1980-something. And it's been my observation that he just basically has been lulled into doing nothing. That was my biggest criticism of him. He just had no enthusiasm, no interest, just, you know, serving in the House because it's a sure district, so he keeps getting elected. He's been in there since 1985. But then in the last few days, we've learned more about Congressman Barton. It's let's just say photos of him have appeared on Twitter that are just indescribable, and I won't try. Let's just say they're lewd, just terribly lewd. And so these photos became public, and this is Congressman Joe Barton's response. Let's listen.
Earlier today, Joe Barton apologized, saying that all of his relationships have been consensual and they've been with mature adult women. Tonight, he's releasing a new statement. As you said, just within the past hour, the Washington Post has come out with a story in which reporters say they talked to the woman who received this nude photo and sexual text message. She told the Post she had a sexual relationship with Representative Barton over the past 5 years after posting a message on his Facebook page in 2010, saying that at least one of their physical encounters happened here in Texas. The Post says she shared a secretly recorded phone conversation she had with Barton in 2015, in which he warned her against using the sexually explicit photos and messages in a way that would negatively affect his career. The Post reports that in the recording, Barton says he would take the matter to Capitol Hill Police and have them launch an investigation. Tonight, in response to this report, Barton has released a statement saying, "This woman admitted that we had a consensual relationship. When I ended that relationship, she threatened to publicly share my private photos and intimate correspondence in retaliation." Barton went on to say, "I offered to take the matter to Capitol Hill Police to open an investigation. Today, Capitol Hill Police reached out to me and offered to launch an investigation. And I have accepted." In his first statement today, he apologized for letting down his constituents, saying that those relationships happened when he was separated from his second wife, but before they were actually divorced.
Yeah, so that's an interesting report because it makes it sound as though the allegations are not just one woman. And Congressman Barton, in his own words, which she just kind of said but sort of made it unclear, this is his actual statement. "While separated from my second wife prior to the divorce, I had sexual relationships with other mature adult women." Not one, but other mature adult women. We don't know how many. "Each was consensual. Those relationships have ended. I'm sorry I did not use better judgment." Now, here's the thing. These pictures are just horrible. I'm just asking, is it okay with you that when a person is separated from their wife, that they start engaging in sex with other women, plural, and exchanging lewd photos? Is that okay? Is that just, oops, a lapse in judgment? I don't think so. I think, I have to tell you, I did think that one of the reasons that our Congress people are not getting more done is because they are distracted by their own lusts. They've got a great job. They're making lots of money, and you can. It's like, okay, pastors, don't forgive me for saying this. It's like a pastor. A pastor can work himself to death if he's a conscientious man. Or if he isn't, he can draw a really good salary and not do very much. It's kind of a, you're on your own. And it's like any profession like that. And I think the reason that Congress is not moving the ball down the court is because they are distracted by, satiating their own lusts. And I don't even mean necessarily sexual, but they are distracted. So this is what Joe Barton has done. I find it reprehensible. I actually saw one of the pictures. It's just beyond description. I just don't understand why an adult man would do such a thing and why there would be any excuse for it. Because that's not like a moment of weakness that you got to get out the camera and, it's a selfie. You got to think about it. You got to plan it. It's not like I can't help myself. It's not that. It was a moment of passion. I don't think so. And so, so that's the story. And of course, like I said, a lot of these stories are going to be coming out. And to me, it's like Haman's gallows. It's like they thought they were going to hang Roy Moore on this gallows. And I think lots of them. And I don't know about Joe Barton, whether he came out. I'm not talking about him directly because I don't know what he said about Justice Moore. But I think a lot of these guys, it's going to come back to bite them. And it should. But we have to then realize that some allegations are valid and serious and others are not. We can't cast them into a general basket. Even the ones against Al Franken are, if these are all the allegations that come out, I'm not saying they're good, but not nearly as serious as some of the other allegations. So you have to be discerning, and also you have to figure out who's credible and who isn't credible. So back to Judge Moore, because that we have to talk about that, and because you're not hearing a lot of details on the news, except every time Fox reports it, they just repeat the same accusations. They never talk about anything that's come out since those allegations. Donald Trump came out in support of Justice Moore in his run for Senate, And I want you to hear what he had to say before I fill in some of the blanks on that story. Let's listen.
We don't need a liberal person in there, a Democrat, Jones. I've looked at his record. It's terrible in crime. It's terrible in the border. It's terrible in the military. I can tell you for a fact, we do not need somebody that's going to be bad on crime, bad on borders, bad with the military, bad for the Second Amendment.
Mr. President, is an accused child molester better than a Democrat? Is an accused
child
molester
better than a Democrat? Well, he denies it. I mean, if you look at what is really going on and you look at all the things that have happened over the last 48 hours, he totally denies it. He says it didn't happen. And, you know, you have to listen to him also. You're talking about, he said 40 years ago, this did not happen.
All right. So, yeah. And a child molester, you know, so the words they use, like Nancy Pelosi, John Conyers, he deserves, you know, he deserves every consideration because he's a hero. Now, Judge Moore, not so much. He is automatically a child molester. Now, I want to read to you some of the updates on what's happening there. This is a story, a couple of these, as much as I can get in here. We will post this on our Facebook page if, in case I don't get to finish it. This is from, on Monday evening, the Moore campaign unveiled statements from key witnesses that completely bust the story of Beverly Nelson and Gloria Aldred and further reveal an unconscionable bias on the part of state and national press to hide the truth from Alabama voters who will undoubtedly see through the fake news and elect Judge Moore for the man that they have always known him to be. According to a former waitress, the Old Hickory House, that's the restaurant where Beverly Nelson says that Judge Moore tried to rape her in the back parking lot between the dumpsters in the dark. Nelson claimed she was 15. This waitress said that the Old Hickory House required employees to be at least 16 years old. According to two former employees, the dumpsters were on the side of the building. They were not in the back. Old Hickory House sat right off the four-lane highway and had a wraparound porch with lights all around it. Nelson claimed the surroundings were dark and isolated. Rhonda Ledbetter, who worked at the Old Hickory House for almost 3 years, says that the earliest it closed was 11 because a Goodyear plant was next door and the employees would come over when their shift ended at 10 and eat their dinner. So she said the Nelson claims her story occurred after the restaurant closed at 10. Multiple sources claim that everyone parked on the sides of the building because there wasn't room behind the restaurant. It was a neighborhood behind it that backed up to people's yards. There wasn't even room to turn around. That was a story, a detail offered by Renee Shavera, who worked at the restaurant. Nelson claimed that Judge Moore came in almost every night and sat at the counter, but multiple former employees state that the people at the counter were served by the bartender or the short order cook, not by waitresses. They also said they never saw Roy Moore there. Two former waitresses and two former patrons state they never saw Judge Moore come into the restaurant. But the outlets, the media outlets, both in Alabama and other places, have failed to report these stories. In fact, one of the women, she is Rhonda Ledbetter. She's a retired public school teacher, currently a senior choir director at the Baptist Church. She worked as a waitress there for almost 3 years. She said, "I never saw Roy Moore come into the restaurant, not one time. I would have noticed." She also said Dixon Hayes from WRBC in Birmingham asked for former employees to contact him, but never responded when I told him. I never saw Roy Moore come into the Old Hickory House in the 3 years I worked there. Two other news outlets in the state asked to interview me, and I agree, but neither one has aired my interview, and I have to wonder why they don't think the people of Alabama deserve to hear anything that counteracts the accusations against Roy Moore. Johnny Bailey is a former police officer with over two decades of experience in the Etowah County Sheriff's Department. He said, "I was an officer with Etowah County. I was a regular customer at Old Hickory. I never once saw Judge Moore." And he said, "I knew him. I would have recognized him." Renee Shavera of Huntsville said, "I was a waitress. I don't remember Roy Moore ever coming to the restaurant. I don't remember that girl ever working there." And on it goes. We'll put that on our Facebook page. Also, a Vietnam Army buddy of Roy Moore came out, and he's an attorney now in New Jersey, I believe. And said I knew him to be an altogether honorable, decent, respectful, patriotic commander and soldier. He talks about once they were taken, they didn't know they were going. The two of them were taken to a brothel. And Roy Moore said, "We can't be here. We've got to get out of here." And they both left. He talks about his great integrity. And he said he can't believe that in just a few years, he would have changed so completely his moral conduct as he served with him in Vietnam. And by the way, Roy Moore is ahead by 6 points of Doug Jones in the Alabama primary. All right, Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.